I am Plato on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Christopher Auchter's short film, The Mountains of Sagana, screens as part of the Strangers in Strange Land section at this year's Vancouver International Film Festival. The first screening is this Thursday, the 5th of October, at the International Village Cinema. The second showing is on the 12th of October. Visit VIFF.org for tickets and information. Joining me now is Christopher Auchter. The filmmaker discusses his film, The Legend of the Killer Whale in Haida Culture, growing up on Haida Gwaii, and his work in film, and the reception this film has gotten thus far. We also talk about what's depicted in the film, namely the role of women. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Christopher Auchter. Mr. Auchter, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So as I was telling you just before we started, I enjoyed the film, and this is why I enjoyed the film. Because it's exciting. And, you know, I mean, these are stories that you know that you've grown up with. But I can see why school-age children, for example, would like this film. And they have told you that, some that have seen it, right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I've got some really positive reactions from the younger ones, the younger audiences, for sure.
Yeah, and it's beautifully done, obviously. The art is wonderful, but... It's a great way to tell these important stories, these stories that you've known from growing up, right?
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, in some instances, like these stories are relatively new to myself as well. I was lucky that my uncle Michael Nikoliakalanis would tell me you know, the Haida stories that he knew, and there would kind of be a nice we'd be driving up on the hour and 20-minute drive from Skidigit up to Masset, where we were going to visit my grandparents, and to travel and listen. And then in this case, like this story, the Nanasimgit story, was actually a fairly new story for me. Although the story was actually right in front of my eyes all growing up. It was carved onto this pole by Bill Reed that was one of the only poles standing in Skidigit at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always there. Our mailbox was right next door, and that pole stood. And it wasn't until I was working on this film that I realized that I was told, hey, this story is actually carved on the pole of the Bill Reed pole. So it was very, very interesting and very, very cool to kind of figure that little piece out. But in terms of the story, like part of it, because there is this symbolism of getting closer to your culture and kind of the strength that gives you and the awakening that brings in you if you do get closer to your culture and you learn your stories from whatever culture you're from, it's just very empowering. So it was empowering for me too as the filmmaker and story doing this story that, you know, I learned new things about my culture and got to be in depth with this story.
Yeah, so even though it was so close to you growing up, I guess you have to be at a certain age to really be ready for it, to accept it, don't you?
Yes, so true, so true, yeah. And that was one of the big things, too, with myself is, I was immersed in my culture, but I still had this feeling of being lost. And I think one of the big things was was the language was not spoken, and it almost had that, you know, a moment of almost disappearing, but now our community is really coming together and making sure the language can survive, and we're doing Haida immersion classes and starting to use our Haida names with each other but that whole notion of when I was younger, I didn't know what kind of stories I wanted to tell. I hadn't found my voice yet. I had an opportunity mm-hmm. with the National Film Board, like in 2007, where I was approached by Sven Erik Eriksson, a producer at the film board at the time, and he said, "Hey, is there any story that you would like to tell? I'm about to retire, but I might be able to help you get a story produced here." And I was so excited, but I just didn't know. I put a story together, but it just wasn't right. And then it took all these years later for me to finally figure that out. Hey, I want to tell our stories, the Haida people's stories, and kind of make a window for others from other cultures to kind of peek in and go, oh, well, that's interesting. That's how the Haida people, you know, that's how they think or how they view the world. So,
I guess we just put our cell phones down.
Exactly.
And you know, look at the world around us, and it'll be there, right? It'll come to us, won't it?
Yes. Yeah. That whole idea. Yeah. You got to be. You got to let it in. You got to make time and know that those things are important.
Yeah, so the guy in the film, is that a commercial fishing boat that he's on?
Yeah, actually the same fishing boat I used to fish on with my grandpa for, like, I spent seven years of my youth, seven summers of my youth commercial fishing with him, and that's the same boat.
Yeah.
And it's called the same thing, the Silver Shadow, and yeah.
So the guy in it is on his phone, you know, immersed in his phone. Staring at it, and then the world unfolds around him. You mentioned the 7 years that you spent with your grandfather on the fishing boat. I mean, there are a lot of moments where there's not a lot happening, and so is that where you got a lot of stories from?
Yeah, I think definitely, like, a lot of creativity and that's kind of came from that. I mean, I'd always, like, in the free time, I'd be drawing and stuff, so mm-hmm. my imagination's going, you know, and you're putting putting your imagination and storytelling into the pictures you draw. And so I think definitely a lot of the fabric of kind of a storyteller I am comes from those moments where you just with, you know, your grandpa and your grandma and, you know, on the water and having adventures and just the peacefulness of that. It's and powerful, too, because, like, the waves and the power of all that. Been in some massive storms. There's just... You're just awed, inspired by the power and beauty of it all. So.
In quiet moments as well as in storms. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do have to learn about patience, and I guess that serves you well as an artist. I mean, you have to be patient when you're at your table or whatever working.
Yeah, that's such a great point. Yeah, because, I mean, an animation is a snail's pace story. Like, the story comes out just little trickles of water here and there. It's so slow. It's not a gush. It's, yeah. It takes so long to do, like, this 10-minute story took from story to art completion, it was about 2 years, but in terms of the artwork, it was about a year and a half. But, you know, for 10 minutes, that's quite a while. And that's full time.
Yeah. So you grew up in Haida Gwaii, and from what I hear from people like yourself who live there and people that visit, I mean, it's such a beautiful place. And I guess that does something for one's creativity, doesn't it? I mean, you're able to recharge or be inspired at the same moment, aren't you?
Yes, and I mean, growing up there, I didn't know any different. You know, our big trip for the summer or for the year or something was going, taking the 6-hour ferry ride on BC Ferries over to Prince Rupert, and, you know, kind of getting to see, oh, that's a mall, and, you know, you get to be around those kind of things. And,
yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, just the amount, especially now, I really appreciate kind of growing up there and spending so much time in the woods, you know, playing games and on the beach and, you know, just everything kind of, like, a lot of our lives and days would be spent outside, rain or shine. So.
Yeah. You mentioned a moment ago the need for young people to reconnect with their ancestry and the these stories especially. Did you find that a lot of young people, and it doesn't matter if they're Indigenous or not, but a lot of young people in general, I guess, take for granted their heritage, don't they?
Yeah, and that's kind of really one of the points that this I'm trying to poke in the stories and point out is just realizing how important that is and whatever culture you're from, if you take some interest in learning your stories, because all cultures have such interesting stories and you know, learn your language. Maybe you've come here, your parents came here, and maybe your language is only English, but your parents speak their language. Like, it's powerful to learn the language that you came from. To be able to speak with your parents in their native tongue is a beautiful thing.
Mm.
And I think things that people take for granted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This film, you know, has a strong female character. And I guess strong female characters in general are a tradition in the Haida folklore. Is that right?
There's this beautiful, there's lots of occurrences, and then my favorite is Mouse Woman. She helps the people that get themselves into trouble, whether it's young ones or not, whether it's disrespecting the environment or something, or disrespecting Yeah, they somehow find themselves in trouble and they need help, and maybe a supernatural being has come to make them pay for what they've done, and a mouse woman will come in and kind of help them out of it. She won't get them out of it. Mm-hmm. She just kind of helps them, gives them information to kind of, so they could do it on their own. So she's both empowering them by making them do it themselves and also learning at the same time. So, and yeah.
And how do you view killer whales? I mean, they're obviously wise creatures, yeah, but they're I guess by their name as well they scare a lot of people, but they're also generous, and at the same time foreboding, but when you look at them as I do in this film, I mean, there's something to learn from them. What do you enjoy about depicting the killer whale in this short film of yours?
For all those things that you said, really, the one that they're so intelligent and powerful, and yeah, they could be very intimidating, and just the note one, the killer whale. It's a 2-fin killer whale, so that's one of my crests from our family.
Uh huh.
So that's why they have 2 fins in place. I don't know. Somebody's might wonder one day, how come they got 2 fins? but that's why I chose that. And then, and I guess there's no real like villain in this story. I mean, she does take Nana Simgut, but for a reason that she, in terms of my mind, is that she sees he's a sea hunter, and he can. You know, if she marries him and turns him into a, you know, one like herself, then, you know, he can help her family and her pod of killer whales, so to speak, and her. But Nana Simgut has a love, right? She wants him, and she comes to try to save him. But in terms of the killer whales themselves, I think they're so powerful and, yeah, just majestic and, something I hope they, you know, because they're having some trouble with all the noise we're making in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we could find a way to minimize that damage that we're creating.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's frightening to think about. I mean, when people quantify it to what the experience would be like for humans,
mm-hmm.
It's frightening to think what they go through because of what we do.
Yes. Yeah.
And damaging, that is. There are great lessons in folklore and lessons that I think, you know, young people may forget, but we need constant reminding as we get older. And for you in your film, what's a lesson that you'd like the viewer to take away?
The lesson of the strength of knowledge, the strength of that if you put down the daily distractions and you kind of take note about what's really important, that, yeah, you'll be able to grow yourself and kind of have this anchor that I'm talking about in this film is that culture and story will really empower you and kind of help you go through this world with strength and confidence. So that's, yeah.
Yeah, and in knowledge, there's also great beauty because of the way that you tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great way for young people, especially. I mean, we started the interview talking about how young people have reacted to the film so far.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful way for them to see, to learn these important lessons.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And, there's so many good stories out there that we could learn from, and and this one I've tried to layer in as many kind of nuggets and little items that people can grasp onto, and the more they watch it, the more they could get from it. And whether that's the songs in there or other little nuggets of the Haida design or the golden anchor and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, there's a couple moments in the film where there's more than one thing happening,
mm-hmm.
and I guess that's deliberate, and that's something that you've learned in terms of storytelling. I mean, it's not a distraction at all. I mean, we do get everything that we need to see when there are three or four things happening at once. Do you find that that's something that is effective in terms of telling the story?
Yeah, I definitely that was a deliberate and act on my part, and I wanted to use those moments to almost like have an exclamation mark, like this is an important part of the story, and really highlight those sections, and also give the audience more information at once. So, there were definitely moments, and also to keep Mouse Woman present as the storyteller in the film. Mm-hmm. I also, chose that.
You went to Emily Carr. I guess it was that the first time that you moved away from Haida Gwaii?
Yes. It wasn't. I moved a year before. I went with my Auntie Shelley to Victoria. Mm-hmm. I went to go to take my grade 12 at Oak Bay. Over there, Oak Bay High, and I ended up being my grandparents, my grandma Baz, my grandpa Bruce, my uncle Mike, Michael Nicol Yakalanis, and my auntie Lisa. We all moved under the same house, and my cousin John, that's my auntie Shelley's son, and Clayton Gladstone. Yeah, it was a big group of us that ended up living all together. So my family in a new place.
and how often do you get back up there?
It's not as much as I like. Maybe once a year now, and sometimes less. But it's kind of. I have a young family here now. I've got my wife Celia, and my two boys Maddox and Logan, and I guess I got to pay attention a little bit to my skipper character and just make sure that I don't get too distracted with daily lives, that I can get back there and let them experience that as well, the beauty of Haida Gwaii.
Has it changed much? Because, I mean, the royals have visited and tourists have descended upon the place. Or is it still sort of the same when you grew up there?
Yeah, it's still relatively the same kind of pace and whatnot. I mean, it's still kind of a high cost to get up there, so it has to be a very conscious effort to get up there in terms of I'm going to make a road trip and then take the 6-hour ferry ride to get there, or I'm going to spend the money and go on the plane. So I think it still kind of keeps the tourists at bay, but there's definitely a lot more people visiting and aware of Haida Gwaii, but the town itself is still the charming place that it always was.
Yeah, what's next for you? Because I know that you'll be at VIFF with this film, but, I mean, are you working on something else now?
Yes, I am working on another story, still in the writing process. I have done some character designs and whatnot for that, but, it's still pretty early on. The story is coming out quite nicely, so I'm excited about getting that one going soon.
It's beautiful work, and I can't wait to see what you've got coming up next, and I'm sure a lot of people who will see this film will want to follow your work and your career, because if it's like this film, it'll be something powerful, it'll be something entertaining, and it'll just be something necessary for all of us to watch. Congratulations on this, Christopher. I appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you so much for the kind words, and thank you for having me on.